Okay, Shalom Uvrocha. Tonight we're starting Simon Kaf Hei, Se'if Ches. And last night we discussed how the bracha of Otzei Yisrael B'Sefora also refers to tefillin, how one should be wearing one's tefillin, particularly, especially for Kriya Shema and Shemini Esra, the kavona to have when wearing tefillin, and how many brachas to make over tefillin, and how if you touch the shel rosh first, still you instead put the shel yad on first, because it says ukshatam leisel adecho v'yudotet v'yispein enecho, and that overrides the principle that in marvin on a mitzvahs. And lahoniach tefillin means to place the tefillin on, as opposed to lahaniach tefillin, which would mean to leave it. And that's not the kavana at all. So starting tonight, simon kavches, se'if ches. Kol ha-mitzvahs mavarach aleim oiver la'asiyoson. All mitzvahs, you make a bracha on the mitzvah, and the bracha you're supposed to make oiver la'asiyoson, which means before the performance, before you do it. What does oiver mean? Pirish kaidim, it means before. As it says, vayavar es ha-kushi, pirish rotz v'hikdim lefonov, they ran and went before the kushi, and he uses this word oiver, vayavar, so it means to do something beforehand. So we make a bracha on a mitzvah, over las yosa. Now, normally the concept of a bracha on a mitzvah, is that something min ha-Torah, is that something midrabanon? So the consensus is that normally the bracha over the Torah is min ha-Torah, but the bracha over other mitzvahs is midrabanon. So Chazal were mesaken, we make a bracha on a mitzvah before we do it, and they were mesaken, we make the bracha before you do it. Lefichoch, continues the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, you see it says here, pirush kodem. You know why it doesn't say hagor before that? Because it's not the Ramah. It's not the Ramah. In actual fact, we had a discussion a few weeks ago, and I said I'd look into it. Why is it sometimes it says hagor, other times it doesn't? And the answer is because it was only Rav Moshe Isserles when it actually says hagor there. So I asked Rabbi Osher Weiss, Shlita, so who is it that is writing when it doesn't say Hagor? And he seemed to think that it was the Be'er HaGoyla, the commentary on the top right-hand corner, or the top outside corner, which normally provides the sources for the words of the Shulchan Aruch, also sometimes just fills in occasional sentences, just to help us understand what's going on. Because I think then it maybe wouldn't be in brackets, or it would be in bold. Yeah. Okay, continues the Shulchan Aruch, L'fichak Tzorach L'varach Ala Tzfilah Shel Yad, Achar Hanoch Ala Kibayres, Kodem Kishirosom. You're supposed to make the bracha just before you do the mitzvah. That's called kodem. If you make it too long before, that's called kodem de kodem. Right? That it's really before. So you make the bracha after putting it on your bicep, just before you tighten it. Shekashiroson zuyasiyoson, because the actual act of tightening it is the kashiro. So by tightening it, that is the asiya, that is the doing of the mitzvah, that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So just before you tighten it, you make the bracha. Hagor, v'chein b'shal rosh, kodem shemahad kei b'roishai. We know according to the Ramah, you make a bracha on the shal rosh as well, not according to the Machava. According to the Ramah, we make a bracha on the shal rosh. So he says, as well over there, before you tighten it in place, you make the bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah Kaf Hei, acha hanochasom v'chulu. The kodem lochein, if you make the bracha before you've even made it rest on your bicep, that would not be the ideal time to make a bracha, to have a kodem to kodem, because that is very premature. We want to make the bracha immediately before the doing of the mitzvah to the greatest extent possible. So you make the bracha before you tighten it. If by mistake a person didn't make the bracha, they did not make the bracha on the shel yad, and they put it on, then they can still make a bracha afterwards. The mitzvah sheish lo meshach zman hu bekula yoma, because it's a mitzvah that has a long time duration. It can be theoretically done the whole day, and therefore, even if you didn't make the bracha before you put it on, make the bracha after you put it on. Says the Mishnah Berura in Kaf Zayin, kodem shemahadkon, that you put the shel rosh on, and before you actually make it fit snugly around your head, you make the bracha. Ki hahiduk hu mitzvah sakashira, because the tightening it in place is also the mitzvah of the kashira, the tying. Don't be like one of those people. Don't make the bracha on the shel rosh whilst you're still holding the shel rosh before you've even put it on your head. You have to make sure that you've at least put it on your head and then you've made the bracha. If you make the bracha on the shel rosh whilst you're still holding it before it's even touched your hair, so then that is kodem de kodem, that would be too premature. Gam b'shas bracha al tefillin shel rosh yira sheyeh mechusa. You're not allowed to make a bracha if your head is uncovered. You're not supposed to make a bracha you're not wearing a kapel, if your head is uncovered. So make sure that you have your talis on top of your head when you make the bracha of the tefillin shel rosh. That's a very nice thing if a person's wearing a talis. If not, of course, just to make sure they have their kapel on. Sometimes a person removes their kapel slightly to put the tefillin shel rosh and make sure that when you're making the bracha that it's all nicely and neatly in place. So we've seen now ches, which is the concept of over la siyoson, when to make the bracha on the tefillin. Tes says the Shulchan Aruch also la hafsik b'dir rabein tefillah shel yad letefillah shel roish. You're not allowed to speak, to say anything between putting on the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel roish. V'im hifsik. What happens if you did speak? Something came up. Your parents called. You were worried about something. You had to stop a child from doing something dangerous. Or a friend for doing something dangerous. So v'im hifsik mavarech al shel rosh al mitzvas tefillin. Now remember, according to the Mechaba, who is Sfadi, he says you just normally only make one bracha on the tefillin. You normally make the bracha lahaniach. But if you, and that covers you for the shel yad and the shel rosh. But if you spoke, so then there's a special bracha to make. So every Sfadi, this is the bracha you hope you never have to make. And that's the bracha of al mitzvas tefillin. Because you only make al mitzvas tefillin if you messed up and you spoke after putting on the shel yad before you put on the shel rosh. It's one of these brachas that you hope never to have to do. I remember I was walking back from shul once and I was speaking to, I think, my son, and I said to him, you know, there are certain mitzvahs we hope we never have to do. We were just speaking about it. I said, really? So I said, yeah, for example, the heishev esagzeil asher gozal, to return the things that the stolen property which you stole is a mitzvah we hope very, very much that we'll never have to actually fulfill. We'll never have stolen in the first place. And as I was saying that to him, I was sort of like feeling around that my raincoat seemed very tight. I thought, I wonder how I put on so much weight, in the last filler that I was. And I looked inside, I'd gunnifed the wrong raincoat. I'd taken back somebody else's raincoat by mistake. So quickly I ran back to shul, the heishev esagzeil asher gozal, baruch Hashem, real maaseh shehaya. Okay, so he says over here that, so this is a brocha that you hope, if you're a Sfadi, never to have to make, which is the brocha of al mitzvahs tefillin. Hagor uledidon, and according to us, says the Ramo, for all of our Ashkenazi brethren, donoyagin levarach shtei brochas, afim lo hifsik. We make two brochas, even if we did not interrupt by speaking in between. We always make two brochas, alo niach on the shel yad, and al mitzvah shel rosh. Tzorech lachsa levarach al shel rosh lo niach. V'gam al mitzvahs. Says the Ramo that normally we make two brochas, but if we speak, then we have to make, we've already made the brocha lohaniach, and then after putting on the shel yad we spoke, we now have to make two brochas on the shel rosh. The Mishnah Berurah will explain, you now have to make the brocha lohaniach and al mitzvahs tefillin, both of these brochas on the shel rosh. Says the Mishnah Berurah, tivkotan kav ches osa lahafsik, you're not allowed to interrupt. Afilu b'dibur shel mitzvah, kigoyin lohoshiv shalom l'rabboi, even if your speech is mitzvah speech, for example, to return shalom to your rav, that's so nice, that's a mitzvah, just to remind ourselves, the Mishnah is in Masechta Brachas, it's a mitzvah to say, to return shalom to your rav. For cholki hai gavna, similar cases, you're not allowed to speak between the shel yad and the shel rosh, ki gerim brocha she'ena tzricha, because it's going to cause you to have to make an unnecessary extra brocha. So, I understand, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if I'm making a brocha on my tefillin, I'm not allowed to speak in between the shel yad and the rosh, because then I'll be causing myself to make an extra brocha. What happens, though, in the following scenarios, where I'm anyway not making a brocha on my tefillin? Am I allowed to speak then in between the shel and the shel rosh? Says the Mishnah Berurah, first wide line. Even those who put on their tefillin in Chol HaMoed, which many Ashkenazim do, that they put tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but they don't make a bracha on it. Oh, somebody who's already put on their Rashi tefillin, now they're putting on Rabbeinu Tam, they don't make a bracha on it. He took off his tefillin with the intention to put them back on very shortly thereafter, where the Ramah paskins that there, he is also not going to be making new brachas on his tefillin. Afilo hachi, nevertheless, aveira hi lo siach b'neihem. Still, even without the issue of a bracha sheina tzricha, it is forbidden to speak between the shalyad and the shalrosh. They have to be next to each other very tightly. And it shall be to you a sign on your arm and as a reminder between your eyes. And this, and it shall be, Shehavoya achas ishtein, is going on both of them. So the vahoya locha, it shall be to you on your arm and also on your head to fill in. And therefore we try and juxtapose them to the greatest extent possible, even if there is no brocha that's involved over here. So aksharatam la'is al yodecha, vahoyula toitafais, b'ineinecha, that we're not supposed to have any interruptions whatsoever between the shalyad and the shalrosh. What sort of interruptions? Kaftes, the Mishnah Berura quote, the Shulchan Aruch said, "Bedibur, you're not allowed to speak in between." V'afilu b'loshen hakodesh, even if you're speaking in loshen hakodesh, ulachatchilo asa afilu lahafsik b'shtika m'shea harbesh leilat zayrach. Ideally, you're not even supposed to have unnecessary long pauses, long gaps in between putting on the shel yad and the shel rosh. Afilu lo hisiach dato, even if your mind was having focus the whole time. Va'afilu l'rames be'enav l'kreitz be'etzba esav ben atfilin shel ben atfilin shel rosh. Gam kein yesh li'zor lacha atchilo. Ideally, you shouldn't even wink at someone with your eye or make any sort of gestures with your fingers to use any body language to give over any message to somebody else in between the shel yad and the shel rosh. Now, what about kissing the tefillin? It's very nohug that after you take out your tefillin, you put on your tefillin shel yad, you make the bracha, you put on the tefillin shel yad, you take out the tefillin shel rosh, and you give it a kiss. Is that considered a hefsek? We've just seen you're not allowed to make any gestures with your hands, you're not allowed to make any remozim with your eyes. Is that acceptable? So the Shulchan Aruch says later in Siman Kaf Ches that it's a minhag chachomim to kiss your tefillin when you put them on. And he brings in footnote 37 over here from the Nemuke Arachayim that since it's considered a mitzvah, it's considered giving honor to the tefillin, and it's considered part of the mitzvah. It's not considered a hefsek, it's not considered an interruption. And he brings to Igros Moshe, Arachayim Chelek Dalet, Simon Yud, who says that really, even though technically it's not part of the actual mitzvah, nevertheless, mistaber, it seems reasonable that you are allowed to kiss them because there's no shihui klal ve'ein nechshavas lehefsek. It doesn't take time to kiss your tefillin shel rosh. Even if you're really in love with your tefillin shel rosh, it's a very, very short little kiss that you do over there on the tefillin shel rosh. And therefore, since it doesn't take any time, it is acceptable. And he continues that when it comes to putting the sleeve on, normally you only put your sleeve down afterwards because that is considered a hefsek. So you put on your tefillin shel yad, and then after putting on the shel yad, you make the bracha on the shel rosh. After you've put the shel rosh on, only after that do you actually put your sleeve over the shel yad. Now it's interesting over here, we said that you are allowed to kiss your tefillin shel rosh, and it's not considered a hefsek. They brought out recently a sefer from the Hanhogas of the old Rav Padva Zatzal from Stamford Hill. And the old Rav Padva, it's brought down over there that he said, you know, that you were not allowed, it said that anybody who spoke between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, if they were a fighter in the army, that was enough of a reason to be worried to have oynish, chas v'sholem, and for a person to go back from the battle fronts. If they had done an aveira, then they would go back from the battle lines. And the aveira says, even if they spoke between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. So I seem to recall that in this sefer from Rav Padva, he said that even though you are allowed, as we've just said, to kiss your tefillin shel rosh before you put it on, it's not considered a hefsek, but he said at time of din, if it's a time when in the world, that it's a scary time, it's a time of judgment in the world, there are very serious things going on affecting Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlon. At times like that, he would advise people, don't kiss your tefillin shel rosh in between putting it on, because we want to be the best sort of soldiers that we could be over here at this sort of time, soldiers in Avodas Hashem. Yeah.
What happens if you did make an interruption,
and you said Amen or you hit it up? Oh, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that, Be'ez Hashem. Yeah, we'll see that shortly. Shkoyach. Okay, says the Mishnah Brura, last word in the line in my edition is Im. Im, it's just before Lamed. Im hineach tefillin shel yad bevayis zeh. O tefillin shel rosh bevayis achev, o hoyodata lo zeh. Ayin le'el b'simen chesiv yudgimu Mishnah Brura shom le'inyan talis. V'wadin le'inyoneinu. That we've just said that to speak is considered a hefsek. And even to wait unnecessarily in between, also one should stop, and also body signs also. So he says, what if you're just walking, you've put your tefillin shel yad on in one house, and then you put on your tefillin shel rosh, I don't know, you're moving, or you're in a rush, or they said you have to leave the house over here, or there was a fire alarm, or something like that. So then is that considered a hefsek? The fact that you've put it on in two different places, he says, have a look earlier where it discusses this, where there are a number of details, and it comes out a bit of a machloikus about whether that is considered a hefsek or not. Next, lamed v'im hefsek. If you did interrupt between the shalyad and the shalwash, afilu b'shay, even by mistake, so then you make two brachas. Oh, then you make the bracha of al mitzvahs if you're a Sfadi, and for an Ashkenazi, lamed alef olididon denoyagim, according to us who make normally lohaniach on the shel yad and al mitzvahs and the shel rosh, we now have to make two brachas on the shel rosh. Ki atam shonu b'varachim shtei brachas al tefillin v'lo yidai b'varachas lohaniach levadhu. The reason why Ashkenazim normally make two brachas on the tefillin, shonu soivrim, we hold the ikat tikkun brachas elu kachoiso, that this was the way that they were instituted. It wasn't that al mitzvahs was just a plan B bracha if you made a mistake. B'tzchilas hanachosom tikkun l'varach lohaniach v'koinami al shel rosh, that the bracha lohaniach is really going on the shel yad and the shel rosh. Ogeshem aniach shel rosh mahatkay mevarach nami al mitzvahs sheze shezuhi gemar hamitzvah. It's just that when you put the shel rosh on your head just before you tighten it, you also make the bracha of al mitzvahs, because that is the completion of the mitzvah. However, your lohaniach was really going on the shel yad and the shel rosh. And therefore, hilchoch, therefore, mimela, automatically, imsoch, v'yesiach da'atoi, toch lachsol avarech gam lohaniach al hashel rosh. So if you did interrupt, so then you do need to make the broch of lohaniach again, on this time on the shel rosh, and then afterwards you make the broch of al mitzvahs.
According to the Sfadim, saying the broch of mitzvahs would be considered a hefsek.
Yes, if you would tell, it would be a broch of she'ena tzarich, and under normal circumstances, and a hefsek. Yeah. Lachsor levorech, so you should say it again. So he says that if you, according to us, if you did interrupt, you should say the broch of lohaniach again. V'nochen shiyamashmesh oz b'shel yad, la'azizam imakoymoy, v'yachazek ha'kesher. And if you're now making the broch of lohaniach again, so you're making the broch of lohaniach now, and it's going on the shel yad and the shel rosh, so he says you should touch the shel yad, move it around a little bit from its place, and then retighten it. And then the lohaniach isn't just going on the shel rosh, it's also going on the shel yad. And it's as though you're now putting on both of them together. If he made the bracha of lohaniach without touching the shel yad, then yimashmesh achar habracha so then if you did not touch the shel yad beforehand, then you should touch the shel yad after the bracha. And he says, have a look in the Bir Halacha in the name of Rabbi Kiva Ega, and the discussion that Rabbi Kiva Ega says is that now that you're making two brachas now. What are the two brachas? Lohaniach and al mitzvahs. So classically, the way we understand this is to make which one first? Lohaniach. We would imagine lohaniach first. Rabbi Kiva Ega discusses, he feels that it would be better to make the bracha of al mitzvahs first, and only afterwards to make the bracha of lohaniach. Okay, Yud says the Mishnah, says the Shulchan Aruch, imsoch letzorech tefillin. If when you were speaking for the sake of the tefillin. For example, you need to ask somebody a question, or you needed to ask somebody something about the tefillin. then that's not considered an interruption, and you do not need to make an additional bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Gimel Imsach Va'afilu Imsach Ben Birchas Laniach Ben Hanochas Tefillin Shel Yad Gam Kein Din Ahochi. This is true even if you made the bracha laniach and then before you even put it on your arm, you spoke about the mitzvah of tefillin, that is not considered a hefsek. Says the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Dalet Einu V'chulu. Avel Chatchilo Osel Asiach BeBirchas Laniach Ad Achar Hanocha Shel Rosh Afilu B'Dvarim Shein Letzarech Tefillin. Even though I've just told you it's not a hefsek and you do not need to repeat the bracha if you're speaking about matters of tefillin, but please don't try this at home. Please make sure that you should avoid speaking about matters concerning the tefillin during this time. Even though it is the tzarech tefillin, you should avoid it. Unless it's impossible, without speaking. But if it is cholamayid and you're not making the bracha, so things are more lenient. So in this case, he says that at least over here, you would be able. We said beforehand, you shouldn't just stump speak. But here, if you are speaking the tzarech tefillin, then that would be acceptable. Continues the Shulchan Aruch at the top. Im shoma kadesh ay kedusha bein tefillah shel yad letefillin shel rosh. He hears them saying kadesh or kedusha in between the shel yad and the shel rosh. Lo yafsik la'anais imohem. You should not start saying kadesh, kadesh, kadesh with them, for example. Ela sheisik v'shemea u'mechaven l'ma sha'aymim. But rather, you should just be still and listen and have kavono to what they're saying. So this is exactly the same as if a person is still davening the Shemaine Esra, and whilst they're davening the Shemaine Esra, they are in the middle of the Shemaine Esra somewhere, and they hear the chazan saying kedusha or kaddish, so you just listen and you have in mind that they should be moed to you. And also, if you're the chazan, you should be having in mind that you are also fulfilling the obligation on behalf of those who are not able to themselves.
I think you just said earlier even a headset of silence is not really very good.
It would still be acceptable because, you know, it's not an unnecessary hefsek. This would be considered a necessary hefsek. He said before, shaloi letzorach, he said beforehand, yeah. He says beforehand, it's in Sifkot and Chavtes, im shaya harbe shaloi letzorach. So probably he says those words because of your kasha. Because of your kasha, he says those words. Okay, so he says you should be quiet. It says the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Hey, v'lo lo yafsik. You shouldn't interrupt putting on your shel yad to your shel rosh to answer kedusha with them. That he says that here is so strict in between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. If you hear, you've put on your tefillin shel yad, and now you hear the fellow next to you saying lahaniach tefillin, yeah. So you're so tempted to say omein over here, but no, you have to hold back with tremendous gevurah not to say omein, because we're not even supposed to say an omein to the very same bracha, or even right to say omein to a bracha on tefillin also would be an interruption. Unless the person is actually having you in mind and he is saying the bracha on your behalf, which would be quite a rare case that the fellow is actually making the bracha on your behalf. Could happen sometimes in a case where there's some sort of a sofek, whether I need to make another bracha and I'd get somebody to make it on my behalf. So I'd be asking him to be made to me. Lanois imohem lamadvov. I should not say kedusha in between my tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. V'imposak vona omen yesh mei rab oy kedusha oy baruch hu. Oy shona omen al eiz bracha sheshoma. And if I did make an interruption, which was Rabbi Fall's point beforehand, and he did say omen yesh mei rab, he just couldn't hold back. He just couldn't resist it, and he wanted to say omen yesh mei rab. You have some avar yonim. Yeah, this was the avera that they did. They just couldn't hold back to say, I was a rabbi I was speaking to, and he told me how he has this kiddush club in his shul, and every people go out during haftarah and they make kiddush there, and how gefelach it is, and what a bezoyan it is. And then he said, you know, but of course we must put it in perspective. At the end of the day, what they're doing is they're making kiddush. Yeah, this is what they had such a desire to make kiddush, right? So a shomru v'nei Yisrael es haShabbos. So even though it's totally out of order, but at least these are the averus that we're dealing with over here. Okay.
They come to warn you.
Huh? Oh, okay. Okay. It was a reform shul. So, okay. Let's say. So, yeah. Yeah, no, of course, you know, this was for children, of course, you know, etc. Okay, moving on. Huh? That's it. That's it. Because they had the chazan, that's an Olympic. Well, you know, whatever. Okay. So, next. So if he did say it, so we say chayze amavarech. Amavarech is the first word in the line. If a person did say these devarim sheba kedusha in between the shal yad and the shal rosh, they do have to go back and make the bracha over the shal yad again, right? The two brachas of ayin vir halacha. Again, in these scenarios, for example, where anyway they're not making a bracha. So what about there? So he says here, where he is anyway not making the brachas, even though we do like to have the shal yad and the shal rosh together because this vahoyah, the vahoyah should go on both of them, but over here, being able to join in to Kaddish and Kedusha beats that and overrides that. Ach, however, achar kach yozis ha-shal yad me-mekayim ha-yikaydim shenech ha-shal rosh, k'day shiyah ha-voy achas lishneyem, if you have interrupted, in a case where you're anyway not making the brocha, for example, like cholomoyitz, and you did say omni yeshmei rabbi in between, so then now, before you put on the shal rosh, you should make the bracha of al mitzvahs, and in between, and before you put on the shal rosh, just quickly also adjust the shal yad a bit so that the bracha is going on both of them and they are still connected. Sheisik v'shemeya, but really what you should do in between putting on the shal yad and the shal rosh is you should not say omein yeshmei rabo or kedusha. Tahashasika ka'ania le'inyan lotzeis yidei chayva, because by being quiet and having in mind the Kodesh, 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 that's good enough for it to be considered as though I have said it. But it's not such a strong action, or you know, by listening to it, by having kavon, it's not as though I've mamish said it myself in order for it to be a hefsek. So it's good enough to be able to be yaitzi the omin yishmei rabba, but it's not too significant to have actually stopped me from that it should be a hefsek. I think if it's actually the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh, I would say one should actually pause in order to do it. He says shaysuk v'shemeh machavein l'masha aimrim. So normally, if it's difficult to have kavono, if you're busy doing other things at the same time, I think the parts that you would need to respond to, yeah. Okay, I think we have to stop over here, so we're up to Yud Aleph, Yishkayach.